This week has been all about different generations and how they get on.
She was born before World War One, and that means she can tell us loads of the past, so it's a bit educational.
We met Josh and his great-great-grandmother Peg.
I think my upbringing stayed with me, helped me through life, because I had one or two knocks. I mean, the war was over practically when my husband was killed, but when my son was 20, I remarried very happily, and he said he was glad to get rid of me, because he was giving me away.
This week we also investigated whether or not there's a generation gap when it comes to humour, which is why we sent different generations to see Ken Dodd's happiness show.
They had wonderful songs in the old music hall. They had wonderful, these are real wonderful songs, like When Banana Skins Are Falling, I'll Come Sliding Back to You. Honestly, that was a real song. How does a hen know the size of an egg cup when it lays an egg?
You can relate to him, I think, because you're similar sort of ages, whereas I can't, I feel like I can relate to what he's saying, whereas like with younger comedians, I can relate a lot more easier. I think that's why I find them funny.
Older people, it's probably quite refreshing to have the things that aren't said anymore and that aren't portrayed in the media or never on TV or never on the radio to be kind of alive again. It's like their Glastonbury. Actually, it's probably a lot like Glastonbury because everyone in the audience is on drugs, but yeah.
And not so muddy.
No, not so muddy.
This week we've been looking at how generations stay in touch, getting grandparents to try texting.
All of that just to get a little dot after my thing. No wonder I want to pick up the phone and talk to somebody.
And we've been seeing whether young people can get something out of writing a good old-fashioned letter.
I felt really vulnerable because, like, when you write a letter, you open this part of you to another person and they're completely, like, free to do whatever they want with it. So I was really pleased when I got my grandmother's reply.
And whenever you need me, I will be by your side, as long as I'm alive. I miss you. Chatter.
Te extraño, mi chata.
The Generation Game Week has also eavesdropped on conversations.
Can you tell something I don't know about you?
It's a tricky question. Did you know I've not got any hair?
I knew that.
Do you know where I could get some?
Well, next.
Okay, I'll go round there tomorrow and see if I can get some more.
And we've even been finding out how old grandparents really are.
I've got two, but I think one is either 80 or 90.
Yeah.
Maybe they're both 80.
Or 100.
Yeah. No.
Katie, they'll be dead.
They'll be dead.
They wouldn't.
Yes, they would.
He's nearly 200.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No,
he is.
I was working class, but very happy. I was brought up fairly strictly because my father was a coachman for years for a moneyed family. I mean, you had to be 21 before you couldn't do what if your father said you couldn't. When I met my first husband, who was later killed in the war, when I met him, I'd known him, for about a year, and we had a cinema in Heathfield with a tin roof. It was very good. He asked me to go to the pictures with him. Of course you had to ask Dad. He said, well, my dear, I won't say you can't go, but I'd rather you didn't. And it was the very fact that I went, not against his wishes, but he knew we were serious. But as I say, we had to do as we were told.
I'm Bella and I'm 9.
I'm Josh and I'm 8.
So Peg is your great-great-grandmother. How does it feel having a great-great-grandmother who's so old?
It feels quite good because there's lots of generations going on and kind of like you get to see lots of people and you get to know all your family.
She was born before World War One, and that means she can tell us loads of the past, so it's a bit educational.
I'm Margaret Casterton, and I'm Peg's daughter.
I'm Pam Fuller, and I'm Peg's niece.
Now, I didn't expect you to turn up here today, but we've got 5 generations in one room. It's quite a remarkable thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. She was a lovely mum. Very patient, very kind.
How is she as an auntie to you?
She took the place of my mum because she died when I was 15 and she'd been second mum to me.
My name is Sharon and I'm Peg's granddaughter. I think my grandmother's the glue. Because she's still alive at 102, she's the sort of focal point for the whole family. And I think my relationship with my grandmother is actually, as she's become more frail, I think it's closer than it was perhaps when we lived, you know, further apart.
Families can come with their own sets of problems and issues and trials and tribulations as well, can't they?
you're a normal family. You know, we have illnesses and we have joyous moments and no different. I think Nan's had her more than her fair share because she's had 2 husbands have died and she was a, you know, widow in her 30s. But probably no more than any other family that's lived through those, you know, right through the 20th century.
Have you got any questions you'd like to ask her?
How do you feel when you were little compared to now, compared to how you feel now?
I was on my own such a lot because I was 6 years younger than my brother and 2 sisters. And they were at school in the day. We lived where with a lovely garden, and through the war, my father kept a pig. We were never hungry, so didn't do badly. My younger sister used to read to me so much and tell me stories, and I think I was very imaginative. I used to play them out in the garden and also in the village, because there was no traffic or anything. Although I was on my own a lot, I thoroughly enjoyed imagination.
Now, if you think about your lives today and you think about how your great-great-grand's life was at the same age, how different do you think your lives are today to the way her life was when she was growing up?
I think it would be like complete opposite, I guess. It's like they wouldn't have had all the technology and like new clothes and stuff that people like keep on coming up with and all the new toys.
They didn't have electricity, so they had to use candles, and now we've got lights, light bulbs. I'm wondering what it was like when you was at school.
Well, they were strict. The headmistress was the one who started the school in Eastbourne, because she said there was a grammar school for boys, but nothing for girls. In 1903, she started the school, and I went there 1923. I left in 29. No, I loved it, but she was very, very fair, but very strict. I think my upbringing stayed with me, helped me through life. Because I had one or two knocks. I mean, the war was over practically when my husband was killed. It was terrible, and he'd only gone home back from leave the day before. The eldest daughter died when she was 16. But when my son was 20, I remarried very happily, and he said he was glad to get rid of me because he was giving me away. I had some wonderful friends and lots of love. I tried to give it back.
How did you get on with your grandparents?
Oh, my grandparents were favourite, really. My grandmother was, because she lived between the journey from home to school. She lived, so we used to, coming from school, we used to stop off to her, my grandma, and she would give us sugar water, and she'd give us bun is a cake, and sugar water is made out of lemon juice and water and sugar, and she used to make that for us for school. And she was a large lady. And I remember when she died, I cried. And I was 9 years old when she died. I miss her when she died, and I think I miss her because I miss not having someone to make you lemonade and give you cake when you come home from school.
Is that all you missed?
Yeah, I did at that time. That's what I missed. Because I remember saying to my sister, oh, if anybody has to give me cake and sugar water.
So how did you communicate with them?
The only time we used to communicate, we had no telephones. And there was no telephones or anything like that. So it was like, if my mum wanted to give her mum a message, she'd send one of the kids with a message to her. And that's how they would communicate. They would send messages. Because there was no telephone. There was not even running water or gas or electricity. People had to carry water in their head. Coming to England was totally different. It was leaving the country and coming straight into a city with lampposts and streets and paving streets and pavement and electric lights. I remember the first time I slept in England in the same bed as my brother, and he said to me, blow the lights out. Because where we come from, we don't have electricity. So we couldn't say switch the light off. So we used to say, blow the light out.
Because it was a candle.
Yeah. But I wonder if you could live without electricity, Georgie.
Never really know, really, because if technology and stuff like that was never, like, invented or, like, discovered,
you'd adopt.
If it was like that, then you'd adapt to that. And then if it was discovered after, then you'd adapt to it being there as well.
How do you imagine you would communicate with your grandchildren, if you had grandchildren? How would you communicate with them? How would you talk to them? And
I think that technology will have developed in a massive way than it is now, because obviously it being like really old, and I'm only 11, nearly 12, so I've got quite a long time, hopefully. So I reckon there'll probably be like holograms and but they'll probably tell me something I don't know about you.
Oh, Georgie.
It's hard, isn't it?
Something you don't know about me. You don't know that I went to Bryce School and I used to be in the church choir as a child.
I know that.
I did tell you those things. Oh, Georgie, now you've got me. Oh, you don't know about my school. The school I went to is different from your school. And your schools have got all the individual rooms for your schools.
Told me that as well.
Oh, sugar, George, what else can I tell you about it? Can I tell you about the countryside? Can I tell you about the countryside? Worked on the farm.
Told me that.
Planted ginger, potatoes.
You told me that.
Oh, Georgie, I tell you about my whole life. All these things I used to tell you when I used to tell you stories at night.
Yeah.
Oh, Georgie, so I'm run out.
Hello, my name is Poppy.
Hello, my name is Jennifer. Right, Poppy, what's your idea of a perfect day?
Well, you would go to the beach and relax with a grown-up one, and a child one would be playing in the sea and the sand. What's your idea of a perfect day?
I would quite like a day at a beach as well, but for it to be a perfect day for me, I would have to have three grandchildren there. My granddaughter Poppy, and my grandsons, Donovan and Ethan, who live far away in America. But a perfect day, they would be magicked over to a beach here and we could all go and play on the beach.
Well done, and now it's your turn, Jennifer.
Can you tell me something about you
that I don't know already?
Well, you don't know who's my favourite toy, do you?
I think I might.
Then tell me.
Blanky.
No.
Okay, so I don't know.
Blanky's my second. Amelie.
Amelie, okay.
Amelie's a panda. I can show you her view if I want to.
Where did you get her?
Well, I got her from IKEA in London. Can you tell me something I don't know about already?
I once sang with whole lots of other people in the Royal Albert Hall in London on the first night of the proms.
What year was that?
1975.
Well, that was a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago.
18 years ago?
No, longer ago than that.
16?
Nearly 40 years ago.
What?
Oh, I don't know if I want to ask you this. What do you like about me?
Having huggles.
Having huggles, that's very nice.
What do you like about me?
I love your sense of humour.
Thank you.
What are my bad points?
Well, when you're cross at me.
When I'm cross at you, that's fair enough, yes.
When I was playing my game once and it was good with a performance, she got angry because I thought I was cheating, but I wasn't.
I think you do cheat.
I do not.
You like to win, don't you?
Nope. I play fairly.
Give me just one piece of useful advice. Just one. A piece of useful advice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do. Oh, exercises.
I can do exercising. That will keep me fit, will it?
And healthy. You need to eat lots of carrots and good healthy things for your teeth.
Thank you.
What's your idea of a perfect day?
To spend it with my grandchildren, going shopping and playing, and having chippies on Friday.
What do you like about me?
You are perfect. I am so proud of you with your achievements. You're growing into a nice, lovely young lady. Give me one piece of useful advice.
Stop spoiling us.
Why? You're not spoilt, you're loved.
We've got lots already, we don't need more.
Yes, you do. Never have enough.
How did you get on with your grandparents?
My granny was rather the old set. How did I get on? Quite well, really. She never did anything with us. But she used to come at Christmas and give us 5 shillings. That was good. Could buy a lot then. How do you imagine you will communicate with your grandchildren in 50 years' time?
I think I'll do that by, like, they'll have, like, phones when they're, like, 6 and we'll be talking with something in our ear and we'll just press a button and we'll be, like, talking to each other straight away. Thank you for talking with me today, Grandma.
It's been very nice talking to you, sweetheart. And if there's one thing I'd like to say... is be happy.
I'm 81. How old are you?
So I can't believe that you're 81. I'm 28, so 28. It's quite a big difference. I feel like I've got less energy than you when I'm 28. You know, it's amazing. It's just so active still in the trans community and in the community in general. So, and that's something I was going to ask you about, actually, was in terms of that. I mean, I'm not sure how long ago it was that you actually, you know, transitioned. Would you mind sharing?
Well, transitioning for most of us, as you probably know already, is a slow process. It starts years and years beforehand. Mm-hmm. I delayed actually sort of doing it out in the open until about 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
But I've only had the sort of final operation this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I've managed very well to live as a woman prior to that for some years. So yep. I've been quite happy. The operation's really been a tidy up and cosmetic thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And at my age, I don't want to sort of go around picking up people. I'm quite happy living on my own.
Can you tell me a little bit about your parents?
My parents were fairly well off, lived on the edge of London. My father was a chartered civil engineer and moved up into quite high levels of income. And I went off to be an apprentice at the age of 18, having got my A-levels and done quite well at them. I went to be an apprentice in Lincoln at a huge engineering factory. They were riotous days, student days, and I studied for my degree evenings and weekends at the Tech College. From there, I went into the Royal Air Force. You know, this was conscription. Mm-hmm. And I had, by that time, married, got three children. Mm-hmm. They've got children now. One lives here in Lewis with two lovely grandchildren who I see regularly every week. Mm-hmm. But they're all very supportive of me. We're very close, and we all have this sort of friendship amongst ourselves that really anything I do, however outrageous, they sooner or later will forgive me.
It's good to have a support, you know, to have support like that. It's really important, you know, to have, you know, family, yeah, to have a connection in that way. I mean, is that the same also, because you've just mentioned about, obviously, your own children and your own family at the moment. I mean, was that the same when it came to your own parents and grandparents? Did you have
support with them? Well, because my parents had then gone long ago. But on Mother's Day, my children sent me a Mother's Day card and they crossed out the M. And it was an Other's Day card. And that's the sort of mood of my family. And I thought after that, we all really ought for ourselves to have an Other's Day sometime in the year.
I think that's a good suggestion.
It would be our day and we could publicise ourselves amongst our families by being the Other.
And, I like that.
My grandchildren, lovely, they used to call me Grandpa, of course, and now they call me Gram.
You know, it should be with everyone. It's a shame that, you know, so many people have, such different experiences, you know, when it comes to family and relationships and things like that.
Well, but how do you manage with your family and how do you relate?
I've got more difficulties with my family than with anyone else. With my grandparents, two of them have passed away now, and the two who are currently still with us don't actually know anything about my life. I still speak to them on the odd occasion on the phone, but I haven't seen them for the last 5 years. So they don't really know me. They don't know anything about my life and about the changes that have happened over the last 5 years. My parents also is a difficult situation. It has improved significantly recently with my dad, but my mum I haven't seen for 4 years. I only told her last year about my situation and what I was going through, despite the fact that I'd already, you know, progressed quite a lot in that way. I had put off telling her for a long time because I anticipated the reaction and I was right with that reaction, unfortunately. She just kind of basically said that she still loves me, but she can't deal with it. So we've just not really spoken since. But then with my dad, on the other hand, he did acknowledge the situation and say that it would take him time, but he would, you know, come round to having another son, because I've got one brother. But my relationship with my dad has suddenly changed very recently. He called me and came down to Brighton about a month ago now and said that he was sorry that he's not been there for me for all of this time and wants to rebuild our relationship, which is amazing. It's great.
I'm very pleased to hear that, because perhaps you ought to put yourself a little bit in his shoes and think he has realised he's getting older. He has realised that to alienate himself from you is probably not going to do anybody any good, least of all himself. So I think getting a Christmas together or something like that is probably one of the most important things that you can strive for straight away, so that you build on what he's done for you. He's obviously had to grip himself and reorientate his mind, because people of our generation were brought up with a different mentality towards things like this. So it's your turn to make something of Christmas or whatever it is and be the caring child who's grown up and now looks upon his parents as people to be loved. They would appreciate your support. That's what I feel. If my kids come along and are supportive to me, it feels wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
My name's Mitch Egan. I spent most of my life in prison, but on the right side of the gates. And I'm now retired happily in Brighton, where I do a multitude of things. And today I'm here with Emma, who is my niece.
I'm a graduate, so I've just moved back to Brighton from London. And I'm kind of gathering practical work experience, having had a wonderful 4 years in London and in Poland studying. And so now I'm back here and spending time with my aunt and my mum.
Well, Emma and I are really just recently putting flesh on the bones of a funny family history anyway. And I was brought up actually by my grandmother. And Granny Annie in family circles has a fairly strange name. I mean, Granny Annie is the byword for all things odd. Gypsy, fae, strange, slightly cruel, malevolent spider sitting in the middle of the web, runner of a house of ill repute, all sorts of things. But yes, my childhood was spent in the tender arms of Granny Annie, interfered with from time to time by my father coming to sort of try and do a rescue mission. But the occasion for it all was the death of our mother at a very tender age of 21. And I'm sure she was lovely, but I have no memory of Rose, really. We obviously both look like her, and I see my sister when I see my mother when I see my sister. But yes, because she died and left foundling babies, we were thrust on the mercies of family, which is a whole other thing, isn't it? Inter-family adoption.
Mm.
So I've spoken a bit about Granny Annie because I'm the one who knew her best.
Mm.
But I don't know what impression you form from the things I've said. Nothing very good, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose she does sound a bit sinister, but I quite like all of our perspectives. It seems that all of us understand that normally people who are quite sad and angry and mean are normally people who have had kind of sad and mean things happen to them. So maybe I should be angry with her, but I suppose I'm not really, because we're relatively balanced people. So it's the impression that even though she was cruel, I don't think she had a good time really of it either. It's intriguing. Kind of, I'd like to have met her. I'd like to like just be able to watch a video of her for a day or something, because also of this kind of like fae aspect to her, and yeah, this like gypsy kind of dimension to her character as well. It's stuff that never existed in my life, but now it's kind of returning and it's quite interesting.
And through you, I'm beginning to remember stuff like dropping lead into water on the 1st of November. This is a thing you do to tell your fortune. I haven't very clear memories of it, but you melt lead and you drop it into water and it forms the initial of the chap you're going to marry, undoubtedly. 90% of these things are about... We should so do it.
We should so do that.
But yes, she did bring that element of, you know, she had a lucky broom. How the heck do you have a lucky broom?
That's so cool. I want a lucky broom.
And when Lester Piggott was running with her money on his back, as he always was, she would run around the kitchen with her lucky broom, shouting, "Go on, Lester."
Wow.
Or, "Come on, Lester."
She sounds... See, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, she does actually sound kind of interesting.
She was extremely difficult to live with as a child.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But as I grew up and she became frailer and roles reverse, as they always do, it's difficult to find monsters. And you go back and you revisit it, and I realised she was one of 11. They grew up market traders. Three of the girls in the family went away to sea, and I think that was a running away to sea rather than anything else. So you're right, she had a tricky life. But Granny Annie was born in 1899, which, when you think of it, all of a sudden, at the age of 60 plus, she had a small child thrust on her. And that was me, you know, father arriving in a taxi and unloading two children. One went to his sister, one went to his mother. She didn't really expect that to happen. She had her life sorted, very much like mine in Brighton now. And then suddenly I arrived with all sorts of wailing needs. So, yes, you can't find monsters. They disappear when you look for them, don't they?
Oh, can you tell me something I don't know about you already?
Well, I had a job to think about this, but just after I left the Air Force, I was a driver in the Air Force, you know, I took a job for a while with a hire car firm. I was a chauffeur, one day I had to take some people to a funeral, and we came up to some traffic lights, and would you believe it, but there were two hearses there, and I followed the wrong one. And I got found out eventually, dashed back and got to the right funeral where it was happening. But I was a little bit late, and that was a bit shameful. But, I mean, you don't expect to come up with two funerals at a traffic light. You know, just both hearses, and I just didn't know which one to follow.
I think that's something that may have only have ever happened to you, because it's not... what are the odds? That's so crazy that would happen.
Is there anything about you that I should know?
You should know.
That I don't know?
God, I haven't had any time to think about this. No, I don't think so. I think that you pretty much, because my parents tell you everything and I tell you everything.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we talk so much.
Can we come back to it, do you think?
Yes.
Would that be okay?
Yeah. What are you going to ask me now?
What do you like about me?
Oh, a lot.
Oh,
a lot.
Good.
Yes. I think you're sensitive, and you're creative, and you're warm. It's nice to have people who, you know, you feel you're really close to, and I feel close to you.
Oh, thank you.
I think you've got a sensitive feel about things. I said to you on your email, I think you've got a poet's soul, right? And you should work on it.
That's so kind of you.
What do you like about me?
Oh, a lot. I mean, there's so much to like, because you started everything. I mean, well, first of all, without you, there wouldn't even be me, which is a pretty strong point.
It wasn't me on my own. There was Dad there.
Well, obviously,
Pete.
Yeah.
Pete, yes.
I think you're super creative, and I think your kind of granny-ish demeanor is really a misrepresentation of you, because you've got such a powerful creative mind, it's very impressive, just because you go to these kind of, like, events for older people, and it's all, you know, people talking about the changing sands of time or whatever, and you just blow people away with this amazing poetry, and, you know, you're this warm centre to the whole family, and...
Well, thanks, dear. I'm lucky, because I feel loved, and I feel blessed. Now, Will, you're not getting away with this. I want to find out just what you've been up to that I don't know about.
That you
Ron.
Don't know about me?
Yes. Something that won't shock me.
Do you know about the time I broke my wrist?
No, I don't know.
I broke it in secondary school.
Oh, did
actually,
you?
Actually, within the walls of my secondary school. Yeah, I tried playing football one time. I'm so unsporty, and the one time I thought I'd give it a go, I really badly broke my wrist.
You gave what a go?
Football.
Oh, football?
Yeah, and I went to the nurse's office, and she didn't know it was broken, so she gave me an ice pack. And
oh,
I sat there, with an ice pack.
Right.
And eventually, I had to go to hospital. And then my mum made me carry shopping home with my other good hand.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, it was an interesting saga. I didn't know whether you knew that or not.
No, so. I didn't. They tend not to tell me anything they don't think I'll like, you know.